Before I do the sermon, Pam, just sit back and listen to this song for a little while, and I'll stop it when I seem necessary. But I just want to get us back in the Spirit. I want you to focus right now on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to focus on the Holy Spirit, who is a gift from Jesus to us. And this will lead me right into our sermon. If you lower the lights a little bit, we'll just listen.
Oh,
You know what's exciting? And I'm going to use a little four-year health on you because I got one more thing to say. This is not going to be successful. Sit down and shut up. Women are not supposed to speak in the church. It's not going to work. Boy, he must be really, really nervous to be giving you those messages over these last 3 days that have been so fruitful for the kingdom of God. You said about wisdom and discernment of discerning his voice and then giving him the hand. It's time for you to give it the hand. When we hear things like, it won't be successful. Sit down and shut up. You have nothing to say. You have no testimony. You have no authority at all. That's the words of the enemy. And I think you realize that now. I think all of you ladies that are out there, if people are telling you to sit down and shut up, look at it, measure it, weigh it, discern it. Because sometimes even us as guys have to sit down and shut up. But in context, in general, if he's saying you'll never be successful, you'll never have a ministry, you can't be a prophetess because you're not allowed to speak, you can't do this, you can't do that, well then you just better wake up and put your hand in the face of the enemy and say, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. And fulfill your ministry. Father, we just thank you that we're studying the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the role of the Holy Spirit today as the Godhead living in this world. We know that you, Father, and Jesus are in heaven with a cloud of witnesses rooting us on, knowing that you've given us your best to be our helper, our comforter, our provider, our spokesperson, our healer. Lord, you've given us everything. In fact, we don't have anything to do other than to yield. And so, Lord, help us to continue to learn about the role of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to go all the way back to salvation because you were involved with us in the Holy Spirit in us as we even approached you to become part of your family. So God, today be my words. Let me decrease that you may increase, and let the word speak for itself in Jesus' name. Amen. Last sermon that we spoke about, the Holy Spirit, we said that the goal of salvation in Christ, now I hope you remember this stuff, I hope you get something out of what I'm talking about. The goal of salvation in Christ is a people for God's name. Remember, he dealt with the nation of Israel. It wasn't about individuals. Wasn't about superheroes. He used some of those super prophets and guys like David and Abraham for what reason? To gather the nation together. To gather a people for his name. Or he would have just stayed with Moses and said, Moses, don't reproduce. I'm satisfied with you. I'm satisfied with Abraham. I'll let you live forever. We won't. God's goal's always been to gather his sheep, his people, and walk them into a place of obedience and lordship, and those that would not, he would separate as the sheep from the goats. And that's going to be the end time ministry, separation from those who decide to serve the living God and those who don't. So we said that salvation was for a people, but as we well know, this occurs what? One person at a time. So in order for us to address the Holy Spirit in regards to our corporate gathering, we have to have a corporate gathering. Individuals have to be saved. And then they're joined. They are added to the church. One person at a time. You build the plane one part at a time, right? You build the car and the assembly line one part at a time. So we're going to talk about how we add and how the Holy Spirit is involved, adding to his kingdom one individual at a time. So, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit will work in the heart of an individual, leading them to believe in Christ. Do you understand that in your own strength you have no ability to even come to God? That God himself has placed within you the capacity to come to him. Do you understand that? If he was to left us to our own old nature, the demonic nature, when we submitted to Satan in the Garden of Eden and left that old nature, we would constantly be separated from God. God had to make a way, right, through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. But how do we get to Jesus Christ? We have to be led. And a prompting within us that just, that void that God created in us that can only be filled by him. This is where the Holy Spirit comes into play. This is where his presence on the earth leads you to a place where you have to make a choice. You are ultimately in control at that point, right? You're without the Holy Spirit. You are the decision maker. You choose what pants to wear. You choose what shirt to put on. You choose what church to go to. You choose what doctrine you're going to believe in. You choose every day. We also choose where we're going to spend eternity. I choose to believe by faith what the Bible says about God, and I'm putting all my investment in that now because I am going to bank on eternity. Or you choose and say, you know what? I'm not going to believe in Jesus and the way to the Father through Him, so I'm going to build my kingdom on this earth and have fun, eat, be merry, do everything wrong, whatever I want to do and have fun. Because when that's over, where are you going to go? You're going to still live forever, but it won't be with God the Father. It will be in a place that the Bible calls a literal hell. Separation from God in eternal torment. That decision faces everybody. And thank God He did not leave us alone to be without the prompting, without the opportunity. Nobody will be in hell that did not have the opportunity to come to Christ. Thanks to Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. Paul teaches that salvation in Christ includes both getting in and staying in. Now that doctrine is another doctrine. Here we go again with our denominations. Once saved, always saved. You don't have a choice anymore. God removes the ability of choice in you to walk away from God. Isn't that silly? He gives us choice to get in, but then He doesn't give us a choice to get out. Well, who would want to get out, first of all? And that's the argument. Well, if you were never saved, if you did fall away. But God specifically warns that we can fall away. No demon in hell, no person can take us out of His grasp. God will never release us. But we ourselves can make a choice to walk away. Or there'd be no need for the book of Revelation. There would be no need for perseverance or endurance or those words. We've got our ticket. We just, phew, that's it. Woo! Take me, Jesus, when you're ready to come. So we have to understand that Paul teaches that salvation in Christ is both getting in and staying in. In other words, putting one's faith in Christ. Okay, I want you to hear this. Putting one's faith in Christ, but also including one's faithfulness to Christ. You just can't put your faith in Christ and say, I can live like the devil. We have to have a faithfulness to Christ. That's what the whole Paul's epistles are all about. Why would we need sanctification if justification was the only way? I'm telling you right now that our faith in Christ includes our faithfulness to Christ. Today we're just going to talk about the getting in part. Next week we'll talk about the staying in part. But today the Bible refers to getting in as what? Conversion. This is the initial conversion experience. Folks, it's just the starting point of a process God calls deliverance. It's ongoing. We're delivered from hell at conversion. We're transferred into the kingdom of what? Righteousness at the initial point, conversion. And we stay in and we're forever in. God's got His seal on us with the Holy Spirit, right? We're not going anywhere. He's not going to let us go. But we could sit there and go, you know, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to do it my own way. And I just, you know, I'm going to go search Satan's kingdom. Sorry, you're in already. I'm not going to let you do that. Really? Is He going to change His character and nature for that particular purpose and say, I'm sorry, but you're already in? And He takes all of our choice away? Well, here we go. Conversion is the starting point. The Lord didn't say, go and make converts. What did He say? Disciples. Go and make disciples. Those who choose, if you love me, you will. If you truly love me. But He says to some who are religious, get away from me, I never knew you. Why would He say that to a Christian? I go to church, I prophesy, I'm doing everything that the Bible tells me to do here. And yet He'll say some who prophesied and healed and did all that, I'm sorry, but you never knew me. You never had a relationship with me. You never walked in the obedience of your heart towards me. It's not just getting in, it's being faithful to Him. Faithful in Christ, faithful to Christ. So, Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1 says what? I guess that one's not on. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, those that have gone on before who can testify, right? Let us also lay aside every encumbrance, that's a hindrance, and the sin, which is in the world still, which so easily entangles us, and let us run with what? Endurance, the race that is set before us. There's sin everywhere, and we're to live above it. We're to put on Christ's new nature, and we are to crucify the flesh. None of that would be in the Bible if all we had to do was get our ticket and go. There's a faithfulness to Christ that is upon the Christian that we are mandated to do once we've accepted the assignment of being in God's army. All of a sudden, the world is no longer home. This is Satan's dominion. It does not become our dominion when we transfer to Christ. We are literally seated in heavenly places spiritually. Obviously, we're still here. Spiritually speaking, though, we are in the heavens with Jesus, with His authority and power. We're going to live forever. We're to look past our circumstances and live by faith, not by sight, which is a natural thing. We are to endure and to be faithful and remain faithful in the long haul and not give up every time we get something to set us off the path. Christianity is more than just getting in. It's not even just staying in. It's staying in with authority and power and victory. Let heaven be done on earth as you know it is in heaven. We're living on earth not like it is in heaven, and people can't see the difference. So we have a poor witness. He wants us in for the long run, but we have to enter the race first, and that's what I want to focus on today. Before we can persevere and endure, we got to be sure we're in. So how do we enter in to Christ? We must first, and here's the process, and here's where the Holy Spirit comes in. We must first hear the gospel. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe? Here's the questions that come from the Pharisees and Sadducees. In whom they have not heard. And how will they hear without a preacher? What's He telling us here? How are we going to hear about the kingdom of God, which is where God wants us to go to, because we're in Satan's kingdom until we get a knowledge of God's kingdom, right? How will we hear? Well, it says right here, we have to first open up our ears. We'll get there in a minute. And then secondly, we must believe the gospel by faith. In other words, the word in which we hear, we then have to believe it. We weren't there. We can't prove Jesus lived. But the disciples and everybody else then did, and they wrote it down. We weren't there when Jesus did the miracles, but the disciples were, and they wrote it down. We weren't there when God created the world, but when you look up, you got to believe He was there. See, nature testifies. The cosmos, the universe testifies to God. Look, I'm going to use the moon as a representative of heaven. If we were to get on a spaceship and travel and get to heaven, the moon, and we stepped out, what would happen? You would die in the presence of the moon, of heaven. Why? Because you can't just get on a ship and get to the moon and be in that atmosphere that's been created on the moon the way you are. The only way you would survive the trip is if you put on oxygen, pneuma, air. But it has to be a specific mixture of air, or if you step out of that rocket ship and you put your foot on the planet, you will die. There's only one mixture of air that will put you on that planet. Jesus works the same way. God is in heaven. There's only one way to get to God, and that is to put on Christ. We have to put on the atmosphere of heaven right here in the atmosphere on earth. That's why He calls you to sanctification, so that you are in a ready state to when Jesus comes back, to be accepted by the Father. If you take your oxygen, you take Jesus off, and you are in no position to be in the presence of God, you will not be blessed. You're going to be fighting for air. But when you come to Him boldly in the throne of grace, because Jesus made it possible, because you're walking in obedience, the Father wants to, hey, welcome to heaven. What do you want? And we don't have to wait till we get there. He wants to bless us here. Yes. But we have to be walking with the mask on. Theoretically, Jesus. Wearing them. Doing the things that He says will bring blessing. Avoiding the things that He says will bring curses. Hello. This is getting in. And then the responsibility of putting on, we'll talk about next week. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We have to believe that this gospel that has been given to us, thousands of years old, every prophecy has been fulfilled, except for a few that are yet, one more that I know of. Every one of them is 100%. It said it would happen and it did. It said it would happen and it did. That helps my most holy faith. Easy for me to believe when my batting average is 1,000 and I've been up 5,000 times and I'm getting up to the 5,000 and first time at bat, I'm banking on the fact that 5,001, I'm going to get a hit. But it's multiply that by a million times over. That's what Jesus does for us. It says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, and we have, that's us, you accepted it, not as the word of men. Who could write such a book? On our best day, our best authors could not put such a book together with such accuracy and with such miracles and with such rich history. It's impossible. But you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also does what? It's not just to read and sit on your desk. The Word of God, which also, what? Performs its work in you. It's available. You want some of what they had in the Old Testament? Grab it. You want what they did in the New Testament? Chew on it. The Word doesn't return void. It accomplishes everything that it sets out to do. You have to wield it. You got to use it or it won't be any good to you. You got to withdraw from the bank account. Or it'll sit in the bank. It'll sit in the book as rich history. But it becomes rich experience through the Holy Spirit as you yield yourself to the power of God. Ephesians 1:13. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of this truth, the gospel of your deliverance, your salvation, from hell to heaven, from being sick to being healed, from demonic oppression to living by the power of the Holy Spirit, having also believed that that was possible. Because there's people sitting in churches that don't believe in the demonic. They don't believe in deliverance ministry. They don't believe healings for today. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to continue to sit in church and not be healed, delivered, or... That's the way it works. You got to believe to receive. You believed in your salvation, why can't you believe for your healing? You believed in your salvation, why can't you believe for your deliverance? Jesus went on the cross for it all. All of it. You were sealed. Here's the evidence. When you received your salvation, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. How do you know? Anybody ever been convicted? When the enemy brings something that is sinful, if you don't feel a gut wrench in your stomach or a check in your soul or some way of going that that's wrong, then I would question if you're even saved. And you better get back to knowing Him. Because when you know who He is, and you know what's being presented to you, you're going to give it the hand. Crucify that sin. Don't participate in the world of darkness anymore. You're not part of that world anymore. You've invested in eternity. You're banking on the fact that you're going to live forever in My presence. Not in this small little kingdom that you're living in now on the earth where the devil rules and reigns. You don't want to spend time in the fire. And it won't be just a measure of time, it'll be forever. So how, if the process is this, to come into getting in, remember we're talking about getting in today in the role of the Holy Spirit. If the process is to first hear and then believe, how is this accomplished? How do we hear the gospel? Go back to Romans 10:14. Remember what it said? How will they hear without a preacher? Paul knew very well that one of the ways that we hear was through preaching, what I'm doing. That's why he was so passionate about preaching and going to the next town and preaching. And yes, he'd preach all night. And yes, there were people on walls falling asleep, not wanting to listen, falling dead, and then Paul's got to use the power of God to raise them up. He says, don't you fall. That's like me saying, don't you open your ears. Some of them died. Oh, get up, live, you got to hear this word. And it wasn't a short word. But he knew, and he was passionate about the preaching. He knew that that's how people would hear the gospel. He knew that it wasn't preaching that was the result of self or seminary study. Listen to me. Paul knew it wasn't preaching as the result of his past, of being a Pharisee of Pharisees, of having memorized the first five books of the Bible, and being a man of God's Word. He knew it wouldn't come from his knowledge and understanding and his doctrinal beliefs, if you will. He knew what? He knew that it was preaching empowered by the Holy Spirit. Saul became Paul through conversion, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. His knowledge of the New Testament, it wasn't there. It got deposited through revelation from the Holy Spirit. It was the work of the Spirit upon God's Word that did what? It created the earth. And it is the work of the Spirit upon God's Word that can bring a man into salvation. Without the Spirit, we will not come to Christ. The Spirit's role in salvation is crucial. He removes, this is what he does, he removes the veil that keeps people from beholding God's glory in the face of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? He removes the blinders of those who say that Jesus is not the only way. The Holy Spirit will show you that Jesus Christ, when you look at Him and you examine His life and the Spirit comes to live within you, that when you look at God the Father, the glory from Jesus' face, His nature, His attributes, glorifies the Father, and the Father glorifies Him. When I look at Jesus, I see the Father. But you know the best part of all this? When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, we should reflect that same glory. The ultimate goal of the perseverance and endurance is for us to be more and more and more and more taking on the attributes of Christ. So that when people look at us, the glory of God is emanating. That's why Peter's shadow could heal. He'd walk in a room, and when you walk in a room, light walks into darkness, and they'll stop their cussing because something's happening. There's a power charge in the room.
Yes.
But not from your average, whatever, kitty cat, like you said before. You got to get to be a lion in the Spirit. If you're weak when you walk into a room as a Christian, nobody's going to even know you're there. But if you roar like a lion, and what do I mean? It's a metaphor. If you carry God's presence, if you're in prayer, if you're in the Word, if you're fellowshipping with believers, you're going to wear Jesus. It's going to naturally. Moses, when he spent time with God, his face shone. When you come in here and get on your knees for an hour, when you're reading God's Word for an hour, when you get up, your face is going to shine. Spiritually speaking. There, it goes into the airwaves, folks. Whew. It's how God works and what He's done. We know that the Word brings salvation and that the veil is removed. The veil that blinds us to the truth by the Holy Spirit. And you're not a believer, the Holy Spirit works on the outside. Listen to me. When you're not a believer, God's not going to leave you without an opportunity to hear the message. If you haven't heard the message, if you've never heard the message, He's going to take you to heaven because He's a just God. That's why babies go to heaven. Why do babies go to heaven when they've never heard the gospel and had a chance to accept them? Because God is a just God. They never had the opportunity. Once you hear the Word of God, once you hear Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life, and you reject Him, He blots you out. He didn't say He adds you in. He blots your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So you're written in there. Jesus died for all men. But when a man steps up and says, I don't want it, He blots you out. They must hear. They must hear. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, and 6. He is not only responsible, the Holy Spirit, on the outside, looking in, to remove the veil, to give you a choice to say, I want God, but He is also responsible for the signs and wonders that help lead people into conversion. How many of you know people who said, unless I see it with my eyes, unless I see signs and wonders, I'm not going to believe? How did Jesus do it? Most of the people that came to Christ in the Old Testament, why did they come? Signs and wonders. It's natural for all of us to want to experience signs and wonders. But if all we're looking and chasing is signs and wonders, it ain't going to happen. Signs and wonders will follow the Word. God knows who's not saved and needs a vision. God knows who's not saved and needs to see a miracle. God knows, and so He calls a Jeremy and says, go to the hospital and lay hands on this one. And she's on the outside looking in, and you know what? It's going to move her so much, it's going to boost her most holy faith. He knows when He needs to call a Vincent Pope to the church to knock and knock and knock and knock and know that those four words were going to change a life. That's, folks, those are signs, wonders, and miracles. That's God orchestrating in the spirit realm to those of us that have needs. We need to understand how the Holy Spirit works. We proclaim. Listen, you and I proclaim. Paul said, how will they hear without preaching? We proclaim. The Holy Spirit, from the outside in, convicts for the non-believer. Remember, we're not talking about our staying in today. We're talking about getting in. From the outside, someone, when they hear the Word of God being preached, gets convicted. That doesn't come from me and my words right now. It comes from the Holy Spirit, like He did at creation, acting upon God's Word in that person's heart. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. Thank God it's not us. Thank God our job's only to testify. Huh? Oh. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Do you see that? It wasn't just the reading of the Word. The Holy Spirit brought conviction. Holy Spirit brought signs and wonders. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us in the Lord, and having received the Word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what's going on. The Holy Spirit can come in and bring peace in any circumstance in your life. He can bring you to a point of salvation even in the midst of all your trouble, especially in the midst of all your trouble. Paul admits that his knowledge to preach came from where? Didn't come from his seminary study. When Paul started in the New Testament, it came from revelation, first from Jesus Christ, then from a download of the Holy Spirit into Paul's life at conversion. He says, and when I came to you, is that 1 Corinthians 2? I don't want that one. Well, yeah, go ahead. Did we miss that one? They're all good. Put it up. We'll put it up there. When I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In other words, I'm just like you. I couldn't have preached to a bug on a wall. I had no power. My message and my preaching were in persuasiveness of words of wisdom. I didn't go to school to get this, graduate and pick a church. It was in demonstration. The reason you came to Christ was because of the demonstration of Holy Spirit acting upon God's Word just simply being spoken. That's why we don't have to come up with all these plans and wonderful charismatic preachers. Just have a heart to get God's Word into someone's heart. Put it out there and the Holy Spirit will do the job. Anybody can preach the Word at any time. So that your faith wouldn't rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Next scripture. Revelation it comes from. Ephesians 3. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. That's us. If indeed you have heard the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. See, here's where it came from. Paul said, I didn't get it from study. Jesus gave this to me direct. That's why he's called an apostle. To be an apostle, you had to have an experience with Christ physically. He had the download into you like he did his what? Apostles that he kept close. Well, he did that with Paul just a little bit later. Revelation made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been what? Revealed to his holy apostles and prophets where? Holy Spirit's role in our lives is to lead us to a place of conviction and to then make sense of his word. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to what? The gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. It wasn't Paul. It was the power of God in Paul deposited by Jesus in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Same for all of you. Whew. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But just as it is written, things which eyes not heard, see, ear, wow, eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, and which have not entered the heart of a man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them, the things that we couldn't see, we couldn't hear, we didn't hear. For to us, God revealed them through what? The Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. When you have difficulty understanding the Scriptures, hey, you can come to me or others who have wisdom. God's put it in us, and we can reveal what we have and use the Holy Spirit through us. But don't always use everybody else as a crutch. Go to the Word yourself and say, Holy Spirit, give me understanding. And then when you get stuck, you go to the teacher. When you're in deep healing and you get stuck, but she'll always point you back to the process. I'll always point you back to go to the Word yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, because he may speak to you differently than the way I may present it to you. Because uniquely to your specific problem, I may not have the knowledge to address it, but the Holy Spirit can, because he searches all things and he knows all things. He's God. He's God. So without the Spirit of God, we could never understand the gospel. So thank God that he loves us enough to bring us the what? The inspired word. The devil can read this front through and through and not get inspired. God brings us his inspired word. Holy Spirit acting upon that written word. You don't need messages that come from human wisdom or personality. You need anointed individuals who allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them. Amen? You need anointed people preaching, not human wisdom and not human personality. Let me take this down here to a close. Once God brings the person his inspired word, now, this is important. Once God brings a person the inspired word via evangelist, pastor, friend, music, television, donkey, you. Do you know what I'm saying? The inspired word can come from any medium that has the ability to speak. In this case, a donkey in the Old Testament, right? Music, riding down the road, you can get inspired by God. A friend talking on the telephone with you, you can get inspired by God. Don't limit it to this pulpit. It's in your life. But once this has happened, it is then up to the individual. You can't take this on. It's not your responsibility. You're just the vehicle driving the people to where they need to go. It is up to the individual to believe. At which point the Holy Spirit then goes from being an external presence to an internal residence. The Holy Spirit goes from being an external presence, inspiring this word to deliver to this unbeliever. I know you're not an unbeliever. And he's out here and he's convicting them and he's getting convicted and he sees the people in the church and the word going forth and then the constant face of sin. Really, there's this thing I don't know why I feel so bad. And then he accepts and comes up and he says, I want to ask Jesus in my heart, because the revelation of the Holy Spirit's given him the understanding that God is who he said he is. Holy Spirit then now comes to live and reside in that individual. Wow. You no longer have to search for God. You found him, and now he lives in you. Ooh. He comes in through faith, belief, trust in God's inspired word, right? Listen to me now. He comes in through faith. Do not trust your feelings in this experience. Your salvation is not based on how you feel. You don't have to fall down like some people do in church. You don't have to have this ooey-gooey feeling, tingling running through your fingers. Everybody, it's different. Don't trust your feelings. It's based on what Christ has done for you and your willingness to simply receive it. If you go by your feelings, listen, if you go by your feelings, people will talk you in and out of your salvation based on their own understanding of Scripture. I'm going to say it again. If you go by feelings, people are going to bring up isolated scriptures like we saw and talked about earlier. And they're going to talk you in and out of your salvation like, are you saved? Well, I don't know now. I've just heard a different way of that to be interpreted. It's based on truth, not people's interpretation of the Scripture. Galatians 3, 1-5, it proves it, and we'll close. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Here's the basic message. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by trusting the anointed Word of God in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Do you now have to go to man and have him kind of redirect you in the pursuit of what you went after by faith? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or simply by hearing with faith? Don't be double-minded. Don't be so quick to leave your platform of what you believe, especially when it comes to the basics of the doctrine, because men have persuasion, because they offer you and they pull together scriptures out of context. You got to know the Word. And when the inspired Word's in there, the Holy Spirit, and this is how it worked for me, and I don't know how it'll work for you, I just get a gut check. When I hear something contrary to what I believe, I get a check in my spirit. So I check into it. Get it? I get a check. I check into it. And I will tell you that there are times when that gut check is to say you had it wrong and get it right. Praise God, most of the time, at least so far, it's been you've got it right. Don't listen to that. But there have been a few times where, you know what? I looked at it in the wrong vein and had to change my theology. Not on the major stuff, but on stuff you guys like to hear about. You know, all the fluff. When is Jesus coming back? And are you going early or in the middle or the end of the rapture? Who gives a rip? Be ready for the first bus. It doesn't matter. Live the life of Christ to the point He takes you, whether it's taking me now, here, here, or here. But boy, people will flock to a church for weeks on end on Sunday nights for 3 hours just to find out what Revelation's really saying. Let me tell you what it's saying. Jesus Christ is real. He's coming back and He's coming to get you. In the meantime, be about His business. Last scripture, Titus 3, 4-7. Be careful. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, look at the word and, regeneration, getting in, and renewing, staying in, by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified, that's getting in, by His grace, and by grace, we enter by grace, right? Gift of God, you can't do it without His offering. We would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow. The Scripture says we're washed and renewed by the Spirit. Our experience with the Holy Spirit's not just rebirth, but it's renewal to reflect God's likeness. And that will be our subject next week. It is the Holy Spirit, listen as I close this, that makes both conversion and resurrection renewed life possible. Did you understand that? The Holy Spirit makes your conversion possible externally, coming in, acting upon you, and resurrection life possible, having been birthed in you now, recreating within you the newness of Jesus Christ. Wow. He does both. So when you go out now and present the gospel, I love this part, present it while under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And your environment will turn into Pentecost. I challenge you to be the clay in the potter's hands. Amen?